It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between him.
Look at Radek. He dropped the gloves with Rivers. The referee or the linesman should jump in here. You can't let a guy like Rivers continue to throw punches.
Federico stolen from Reinhardt. Breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting. Rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevalier. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it. Head to head. And Joseph with three great right.
Turgeon to Hall, looking for 500. He shoots, he scores! Brett Hall, number 500.
Tarasenko, in the clear, he scores! Get up, St. Louis. Get on your feet. They did it. It's over. The game is over. The series is over. The wait is over. And the St. Louis Blues are the Stanley Cup champions for the first time in franchise history.
Hello, Blues fans, and welcome to a Monday edition of your Blues NHL podcast. I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer, back from a sunny, shank-filled golfing vacation. It's always great when people say, how was the golf? And I say, well, just fine, unless you give me a sand wedge or something lower than that, and the ball just loves to go straight right. The shanks, that sounds a little nasty, but for golfers, it would be nasty, and a guy I love to play golf with and in studio with me now is my old buddy Darren Kimball. What's up, Kimby?
Nothing. Sounds like you're picking your head up, kiddo. Picking your head up.
Well, it's more than picking my head up. Let's be frank here. But the truth is,
that's what everybody says anytime a shot. Yeah, you lifted your head. Lifted your head.
You know what's funny is, and that's a, like, I can tell when I said the word shank, you know, I'm sure people that don't golf are like, God, that's kind of gross. Now, when you say that to a golfer, that's they cringe
skank.
Like you just got hit in the balls.
Skank's the word, not shank. Yeah. Shank's different. Skank's a bad word.
When you shank, when you say the word shank to a golfer, they have a look on their face like they've been kicked in the balls, because it is an awful word, and it's like a disease, and you can't get rid of it.
That's a bad one.
It's a bad one. But you know, there was a lot of alcohol.
That hurts the game
and a
too.
Lot of fun. You know, I was down there with my boys Bart and Booker.
Oh,
and,
boy, that's a lot of alcohol already.
Lignol and you know, that's quite a crew.
How many? 130 of you? 160?
128, I believe.
128?
Yeah, 128 of my closest friends.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But you had a lot of stuff going on back here, so we're gonna cover a whole lot of stuff here as we come to you from the SynergyHockeySkills.com studios. And I want to thank our friend Jamie Rivers and his crew for their continued patronage of our studio here and allow us to keep coming to you on these airwaves here at lineupmediagroup.fm. And to our good friend Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com, residential, commercial, industrial, it's the name you know and trust. That's InnovativeCompanies.com. Man, there's a lot, like, I leave and the Blues can't lose, which is nice, right?
Yep.
Maybe I should have left town earlier.
Probably, yeah.
Probably. You can't lose.
No, hockey team's doing good. Won a big game yesterday, so we're off to regionals now. And there's a lot. There was a lot in that one, though. There's a history there. I could write a book on this team that about some guys that weren't wanted, and they've come and they've conquered and they've got.
Is there going
to
be a movie here?
I could almost pull this, but I think they've wrote this movie already. But we've
Miracle, something like
well,
that.
Well, yeah, but
you're going to compare yourself. You're going to compare your CarShield team to the Olympic team in
the 80s? Because the Miracle was different, because that was a man's dream was to pick a bunch of college kids and take them to play the pros, and well, they weren't pros. They were the Russians were sort of acting like pros, but they were.
They were beating pro teams.
And yeah, exactly. So he was, but he took a bunch of young college kids and wanted to go prove a point, the man did. And so that's not what I was. I was, you know, we're a group that wasn't really wanted by another organization, and then you get to come back and beat that organization. So that's what the treat of that one is. But we'll stay away from there, because it was really good for the kids yesterday to know that they're in the conversation.
And I know you've got some friends on that other team too, as well. So that's I know you have nothing but the utmost respect. I believe our friends, the NelsonLandServices.com. That's their team, and I know how much you think of that family and their son, both their sons, really. But That's an interesting one. For
yeah,
sure.
So it's going to get tougher, though. We got to go. Well, not tougher. It was a tough series. You know, we lost the first game and we won the next two. So we won yesterday. It was 0-0 going into the third, and it was 2-0 with an empty net goal. We scored with like 9 minutes left, I think, and sort of a lucky goal. But, you know, I told the guys, I said, these type of games, you just got to get the puck at the net, and somehow it's going to go in, and it did. So we got lucky, and now we head on down to Omaha in a couple weeks, and there's a Chicago team that we're going to have to play, and Wisconsin team that we're going to have to play. So it'll be it's going to get tough. It's going to get tough.
Well, the puck's going in a little bit for our Blues. Things are starting. Things have turned. Probably no coincidence that Oscar Sundquist comes back from injury, and once he reestablishes himself in the lineup, things start, as we call, the trickle down.
Yep.
I would have to say, based on things that I have read and seen, that Mr. Scandella has fit in quite nicely on the back, probably to the surprise of a lot of people. You know, that was a move made, I'm going to use this word, desperation. And I don't, that sounds sometimes like a bad word, but it was. I mean, you don't have what happened to the Blues and Jay Bouwmeester. That doesn't happen every day. Now, the truth is, Jay Bouwmeester could have broke his leg. And then the Blues would have had to go. I mean, obviously, we think of what happened with Jay Bouwmeester, and we think, man, it's just such a, like, something that doesn't happen every day. But guys do get hurt, and then general managers are forced to make a desperate move sometimes. Well, he trades for this guy. You know, let's face it, 99.9% of the people that were commenting on Mr. Scandella on social media were basically commenting based off something they read. Or that some quote-unquote expert said, right? And the truth is, they really didn't know jack shit about Scandella, but Doug Armstrong had a feeling he would fit in here, and it sure seems like he's been a nice fit and has allowed them to weather this issue.
Yeah, but, you know, what's kind of funny when you're talking about it, Crooms, is if Bouwmeester doesn't get hurt, does he still go out and get this guy? Because I believe he was going to go get a defenseman, because that's what he did last year. He's got a there's a pattern there. He wants to shore up his defense, and which, you know, that's a smart move. And so he goes and gets him. And but he's coming and he's playing top 4 minutes. He played more minutes in one game than the other guys did. So he's playing a shitload of minutes. So you can't sit there. No one can sit there and tell me when Armstrong went and made this deal that he expected a guy to come in and play and play the way he's playing. You know, it's almost like he's got a new life going on himself here, which, you know, he's not old. You know, he's 29, sure. 30 years old. And so he's
been around. He's seen. He's been in some situations. Yeah. And
so but he's been there. He's been in the league long enough where if you've been in the league long enough, like Armstrong has been and his scouting team has been, that I'm pretty sure they knew exactly what they were getting when they got him. But I don't know if they expected this out of him, and I think it's been a bonus to him. And to be honest with you, when I've sat here, and the last time we were on here was the last week when we were talking, I haven't had a chance to watch the Blues a heck of a lot because of my schedule running here. And I got a chance to watch the Dallas game, which I'm glad I did, because I believe it's going to come down to these two teams on this side of the for the, you know, the conference.
You've been saying that all year. Yeah.
But it was a hell of a hockey game, and To watch what the Blues did in this game was, you get Sundquist and Barbashev back together again. Lines are sort of starting to come back to where they were last year when they made their run, with the exception of the big exception when Tarasenko gets back in the ball game, and it'll be curious if Berube goes back to pretty close to what he had when he went after it, and then it's. To watch Barbashev and Sundquist play the way they played together, there's a little, they create a spark every time they're on the ice. They're like run around little gnats, and they hit guys, but they create stuff. You know, it really looked like the Blues, at the team that they played the other night. The Blues looked pretty good at what they ran at last year, and I was pretty impressed by what they were doing.
You know what's interesting for you to say that about like Barbashev and Sundquist. As a Blues fan, like we all can go back through the years of some of the teams that were what we would call menacing to the Blues. And there was all these teams always had these lines of players, like when, you know, Maltby and Draper, like these guys, you know, guys, whether it was Chicago or Detroit or whoever it is, you think back to these just pain in the ass lines.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you start looking at the Blues and really, you know, you can either look at it and not care, or you can look at it and go, how does something like this happen? You know, I know you had said it a thousand times. Jamie would preach it from the rooftops that he felt like depth was the number one. Obviously, the hot goaltender. I mean, the Binnington story is crazy, right? But the depth was something that, you know, you cannot be understated. So then you look back at some of the teams that have had success over the years, and you know, you sit there and you complain about these lines, right? McCarty and Malt, you know, these pain in the ass lines, and you complain about them because they're pain in the ass, but you may not give them the credit that they deserve is being, because everybody looks at points, right? But it's hard to play against them, and it's his heart.
But that's why even when Detroit, the line you're talking about, though, it was a four-line team. So they always had, Bowman always had the four lines. You know, they might not play them as many minutes, but they're close, because I do it with my own team. I try to play as much as I can because you wear the other team down. And that's what the Blues philosophy was last year. You know, they had four lines to run at you, and they wear you down. And to what you're saying, the only exception this year that I'm finding is going to be curious what happens is where does the Thomas kid fit in at, because he's a year into the ball game now. He's better than he was last year. You know, they were sort of running him around. He was in and out a little bit of the lineup and put him here, put him there. But he's sort of established himself as a pretty goddamn good hockey player right now.
Yeah.
You know, he's running good. So, you know, when you get Tarasenko back, where's I'll be very curious where Berube and these guys, where they run with and where they're going to try to place this lineup.
Curious, you know, I guess it doesn't matter what sport. I've always said that what a GM does or doesn't do will tell you what he thinks of his club. It'll also tell you where he's at on some of the questions that you're aware of those questions, but you really don't know the answers. You know, he's been aggressive. I mean, we can't say that Doug Armstrong hasn't been aggressive.
Yep.
He makes the Scandella move, obviously. And again, I don't mean this in a bad way. He makes the desperation move to get Scandella. Let's face it happened really fast. Like one day, all of a sudden, no rumors whatsoever, and we've got Scandella. So he makes that move out of necessity. Let's say necessity, not desperation. Mm-hmm. It's worked out so far, right?
Yep.
But that really didn't put you, because of Bouwmeester going on IR and because of the way the deal was constructed, if Tarasenko wasn't coming back, he could have made another move, and he did not. So does that answer the question for you of where Tarasenko's at and what he's going to be? I mean, does that tell you that we can expect to see him here pretty soon?
For sure you will. And it's just a matter of time here. I think they've even got their date set when he's coming back. I think they've even announced basically when they want him to be coming back here, and I don't think you're far off. I think you're five games away, so he's – I think they got him playing like the last 10 games of the season is what I think their plans are. Now, you don't know that until you get him into a game and he actually goes through the process. So, you know, and how does it feel when he comes out of it? Is there swelling and all that nonsense that they're going to have to go through? So it's but without a doubt, that's why he held off, because he didn't – He's got the money ball, sir. That's what I'll call him. He's got his money ball sitting right there. And if Tarasenko comes back and is even close to what he was last year, then that's an ace in the hole right there, boy.
Yeah, because like you said, the line start kind of. I mean, you had made mention that, and not in a bad way, but guys last year really got into some roles that you felt were much more. What's the word? They were much more advantageous for where they were at in their game. You had mentioned Alexander Steen had found himself into a perfect situation for where he's at currently as a player. Not a bad player.
He's going right back to that pretty
soon.
That's
right. So. And I know that you feel like that's when they're at their best, is when guys are.
He was actually playing with Barbashev and Sundqvist the other night. So they played well.
Played well.
So there's a good spot for him.
Yeah.
And whether he stays there or not, I don't know.
He's kind of been that Swiss Army knife for you, which you got to have those too, right?
But you go look at, and the reason I'm saying this is because I don't know what, it'll be curious where they put this through, because I believe Thomas is going to get more minutes going down. He'll have more minutes than he did last year going down the stretch, I believe, just the way he's playing, because he's an exceptional little hockey player. But Sanford's probably been your hottest player down the stretch here in the last 10 games, and he's probably one that's going to find himself sitting on the down by the fourth liners, because you bring Tarasenko back, where you know Tarasenko ain't coming back to play fourth line minutes. He's going to be on the top, you know. So someone's going to have to. So that's where this whole line and Berube and the coaching staff, And I'll even go with Manning. They orchestrated it so perfectly because they didn't have many injuries last year. They had a couple little one-game suspensions they had to run through. But, you know, with all this, all the talent that you have sitting there and all the players that you have there for the run that you're going to make, if everyone stays healthy, some of these players are sort of sitting there and they don't get, and then things start to get antsy around, and that's, you know, that's anywhere, you know, that's life in general. So it'll be curious where they, this little stretch down there, if everyone stays healthy, and how they're going to start this process out in their playoff run. And not only the playoff run, but they got Colorado whooping or sitting right at their ass right now, and they don't want Colorado to get ahead of them, because that's going to, that throws a wrench into the program where you might have to play a little tougher team first round too.
Yeah, I mean, that's always something, you know. Yeah. Like I said, I've been.
I got lots of shit going. It's fun though. That's what you want. You know, as a fan, you always pick the newspaper up now. Well, not even newspaper no more. It used to be a newspaper. It's you know, the internet now, and you go on there and you find out where the Blues are sitting, because now you got an interest in it. That's why I went back in the day. And I've said this on here before, when I was a rookie in Quebec, and Guy Lafleur always, when he told me, he says the first 20 games and the last 20 games, that's the most exciting part in time in hockey, you know, and going into the playoffs. Well, this year is your reason why, because the playoffs are so, everyone's in running for this last playoff spots, and you want to make sure you're keeping your spot in a good, so you got a good seed. And so this is fun for a fan right now.
Yeah, I would say, you know, fans, obviously, it's a different feeling, of course, right? Like, you know, there's that, you know, you've went from, you know, could this be our year to can we do this again? You know, what a feeling. Who doesn't?
Expectations are a lot different this time.
Sure. Isn't it amazing how things change? And, you know, we talk about, at the beginning of the year, we talk about, you know, what's good enough this year? Where's the hangover? Where's all this kind of stuff? And you know, and when they've went through a couple of these stretches, let's face it, they've had a couple stretches where you sit there and go, oh boy, you know, is it caught up with them a little bit? Yep. And then they've bounced back with stuff like this.
Yep.
And you wonder, you know, how does that happen? You know, and I want to ask you about that as a former guy that's been in the room, that's probably that has been part of ups and downs. Before we do that, though, I want to remind everybody to check us out at bluesnhlpodcast.com. It's this website where you can catch the show. But more importantly, we're going to ask you to go to that website and click subscribe to the podcast. It takes 30 seconds. It's free. And we ask all of our listeners out there to please do so. Find us on our social media sites as well, at STL Blues Podcast on Twitter. We're going to ask you to follow us there. Go to Facebook, type in Blues NHL Podcast. Make sure you like our page. Our pin post is always our show. If you would like it, comment on it and share it. That helps us reach more Blues fans and bring them into our community. Instagram as well, with Blues NHL Podcast. And as I mentioned earlier, lineupmediagroup.fm is where we're housed. And of course, you can find your radio streaming platform for your mobile device there as well. Our partners that help us with the show and keep it on the air for us, of course, Adam's Smokehouse, Best Barbecue in St. Louis, folks, located on Watson Road. Make sure you find out if you're available for delivery. I know that's been a hot topic lately, as I've seen some stuff going out about that. They do big box lunch orders as well. I've seen some of those going out, and catering, second to none. If you have an event and want to have the best barbecue there, make sure you inquire about their catering services. But you can get down there to Watson Road, get in a restaurant there, and have some of the best barbecue in St. Louis. Say hi to Mike and his staff. They'll take good care of you, and you'll feel like you're at home. Pick out anything you want from the menu, but I always suggest the ribs. That's Adam's Smokehouse, St. Louis. Here's your cue. You know, you heard me mention earlier, good friends of Darren and Jamie, both the Nelson family, NelsonLandServices.com. Always asking for an opportunity for your business. That's NelsonLandServices.com. 5-star locally rated company with reasonable prices. Just a great family, and I know that's always bittersweet for you, Darren, as you compete against friends, but that's how you get better, right? Competing. And
that's what you want.
I'm sure there's a jab here or there over a cocktail, maybe once it's all said and done. But in the end, hopefully those kids are all together somewhere better when it's all over anyway.
That's
so
the game.
That is the game plan, of course. You know, you heard me mention SynergyHockeySkills.com earlier too. So important for us to have those guys be a part of this and everything that Jamie's got going. And hopefully we'll have the crew on here Thursday as we get caught back up. Maybe I know Henson's got his playoff stuff going on as well, but Coach Henson and the McKendry, we wish them luck as they're in their season as well. Okay, let me ask you this. You know, if I look at this thing and I try to figure out the Blues, you know, like I said, we have these little stretches, right? How does that happen? How do you struggle like that, and then all of a sudden, it's almost like flipping a switch? Now, we know about injuries, we know about things like that, but it does seem like things get, like, for lack of a better description, it seems like you get off your game for a little while and then you find it again.
Yeah. Well, that's we talked about it here last last week when I was saying you go through a process and you know you get winning games and you bad habits come in and the coach doesn't really want to infect or, you know, throw anything at the table right now because you don't want to break up a good winning streak that you're going through. So then you get through a bad habit and all these bad habits are coming in and all of a sudden you start to lose games. Well, then the bad habits are still there. So now the coach has got to go through the process of trying to clear them all up. So, you know, that's what the Blues have gone through. Now they're back on a winning streak. And it was kind of funny. Excuse me. I got a little bit cold here, but it's kind of funny. The other night, Berube was sitting there. So they've been winning games. The game before Dallas, he come on the thing and he said he just can't get over how the penalties are being called on the Blues and they're being the most penalized team in the last five games or whatever. And then it's almost like Chief knew exactly what he was doing because the Dallas Stars are coming in and they didn't get one penalty against Dallas and they get three power plays. So it just almost went, it's almost like some referee was sitting there listening to what the hell was going on.
You believe that?
Yeah, I do believe that for sure. Well, of course, if you're winning, usually when you're bitching about something, the referees or something, usually you're losing. You know what? So if you're sitting there from a winning standpoint and you're winning hockey games and you're still bitching, well, then they have to sort of maybe listen a little bit to you. Not that they're going to listen, but they might.
Because you ain't crying. Yeah. I mean, you're talking talking truths here, right?
You're speaking from power, you know what I mean? Because you're winning. So, but I think, you know, and it played into his hand because they had three power plays and they scored on one of them. So worked out good.
It's all coaching when you're winning, right, Kendi? Mm-hmm. You know that feeling, right?
I just had a guy text me that today. When you win, Kimmy, it's all about coaching, right?
So I think I saw that on Twitter too.
It's kind of funny.
I sent that to you, but you know, you look at some of the things that went on last year, and then you kind of look at where you're at today. And I'm not taking anything away. Ryan O'Reilly was a big, like, I think from the beginning of last season all the way to the end, you kind of looked at him like, this guy came in here and it was a 365-day mission for this guy basically last year. Who's that guy for you this year? Is there one guy that you kind of look at and he's making this thing go?
I don't think so, but I just think there's certain guys that have improved their game. And, you know, we talked about Thomas. That's one for sure. He's gotten better and...
You can see now why he's so thought.
And he plays a lot more important situations out there. You know, he's around the power play now. You know, he's on these things and he's getting more ice time. But he's probably improved the most of the three. But I think the makeup of the Blues, they just everybody comes and does their job, and I don't think, you know, with O'Reilly, has he had as good a year as last year? No, by no means he has. I don't believe, but he's still a leader in the process. He's still going to come work. It's not that he's not going to work. Things maybe not go his way. He had a beautiful goal last night in the shootout. But there's, you know, and then your guy, like Petro, sitting there playing the minutes he's played all year long, and the leaders, that's leadership there, man. He's coming every night, and he's playing it every night, and... I just think they got a good core going here, and they got not even just a good core. They got a whole group that has bought into what Ruby's doing, and when you do that, and if you're a coach and you can get them to buy in and go through the process and everyone accept what's going on, life gets real easy.
You know, I wasn't by any means saying I didn't think O'Reilly's played well. I thought last year it was pretty evident that guy was kind of like leading the club, like
playoffs,
with his will.
Playoffs for sure
he was. So my question really, too... you know, we talk about the grind, right? It is. Mm-hmm. I mean, and can you, like, some guys almost do too much, or and his work ethic is like first guy on the ice. He's on the ice. I mean, does there come a time for a guy like this when you had such a long season, such a short off season, back at it again? It's got to be hard on him.
Yeah, you're right. I think it's probably takes its toll on you a little bit. You know, they do get a. They do get their mandatory week break now. They do get a 1 week off of a week, don't they? I believe. And
Is it coming up?
Yeah, I don't know if there's it's probably already been through that, but because you're late in the seasons. But they've all, you know, everyone gets their little process, and I believe as a coach, if you're, you know, you can only ride these guys so hard, and there's going to be a point in time who's come back where you're going to go to practices, and your practices are probably going to get shorter, and you just want the guys to stay fresh all the time on the ice. So you know, you're getting to that part of the season where you're trying to maintain a little conditioning, but you also got to condition the brain here too, so which needs rest a lot of the time. So, you know, that's all on the coach, how he determines how his team's playing, obviously.
Yeah, I remember back, towards the end of Doug Gilmore's career, they would talk about, they would have to monitor the amount of work that he did because he would lose so much weight because of the way he played and the way he worked. It was a great piece. It was obviously when there was a lot less media attention and you had to go to one specific place and you'd get a lot, but they talked about it. So I wonder if the, like, you don't talk about the train. We don't talk about the training staff, and we do when we have an episode, like we have with Jay Bobinster, and we give them all kinds of props. But the reality of it is they've got to be looking at these guys right now and monitoring where they're at and all this. Cause it's been long for them.
Yeah.
Something else I wanted to ask you about, we were talking about, the progress of, and you brought up Thomas obviously, and you start looking at where you're at with other things. We start talking about depth. I want to ask you about the defense. I think we all know that, when the defense steps up, you get in front of a hot goaltender or a guy that's basically making all the saves that he should save, right? And then you make great saves, obviously. But you always want him to make those routine saves. The defense is a big part of any run you're going to make.
Yep.
So we've got a couple of young guys back there. Where are you at in the maturity? The maturation process, if you will, on a guy like Parayko. Where do you think he's at? Is he getting to that level that we all think he should be at?
I think the last year when you watched in the playoffs, I believe he took a step.
Yeah.
And I believe he's even taking another step this year. I think he's going in the right direction. I think he's feeling, when a player plays and they feel like they can get more room, and so they take they can do more things. And you see him; he's in the offensive zone more. He's creating more opportunities. He scored a nice goal the other night, and a wrap around him. But he's starting to get a little bit like Petro now with going all the time. But you got the new guy playing defense. He's sort of a defensive defenseman who stays back. You got Dunn playing right now, playing with so much confidence.
Well, that was the guy I was going to ask you about next. Where are you at on Dunn?
He's just the confidence he's playing with, and if he's going to bring, he's got to bring some offensive numbers to the ball game, and he's doing that right now, and he's just playing with a ton of confidence right now. So, you talk about all the defense. The defense are going to be the same as, they're going to do the same job that they do every night. They're playing with a lot of confidence. They're giving up, 15 shots a game, maybe 16 shots a game when they're playing good. So it's coming down. You run into a game like Chicago where you give up 5 goals. That's sort of, why did that happen? That's a concern. But the power play gives up, or the penalty killers give up 3 of them. So, that's a concern. I still think everything's going to fall down to Mr. Binnington when it comes down to the final run anyway. It's going to lay in his lap. Is he going to be the same guy that he was last year, unflappable when he has a bad game or has a couple bad goals going? Is he going to be able to stay focused? And I think he's got the mentality to do it, and I think that's going to be the key part of it all.
I look at the group as a whole, and, you look at who the new people are. I mean, Falk, there's no doubt. I would say, he's been up and down. I don't think anybody would deny that would be a good description of him. I think most people would say, let's call it what it is, Jim. He's been more down than up. I mean, he's had a couple stretches where it looked like he was coming out of it.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on? I mean, this is a great question. So let's just go to it now. I was going to ask you about this, but we'll go to the Patterson Tire and Service text line. That's our good friends, Patterson Tire and Service. They're a whole lot more than a tire store, and they remind you of that because while they do specialize in tire and brakes, they also specialize in automotive repair. You can give them a quick call at 618-797-6711. Tell them what's going on with the vehicle. Like I said, if it is tires or brakes, they can give you a real quick quote on that. But they're located down in Granite City right off of Highway 111. Just a great family-owned business that's been in their community for a very, very long time. They've taken care of so many people down there. I love seeing the reviews. People that have been going there for years or have stopped by for their first time. All positive. And like we say, that when you have a family-owned business like that, you care about your public perception because that's your business and that's your livelihood. And that's why they go above and beyond to make sure they take care of everybody. It's been in the family for a long time. I've known that family. I trust them. And I'm happy to be associated with them, especially with our show. That's Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. So this was a good question that I thought, kind of summed it up. But, this person says, just asking the guys going into the playoffs, What's the most important thing to have rolling going into the playoffs? Will it be goaltending? Will it be defense? Will it be the offense? For you, if you want to be going into the playoffs on a high note, what do you – I mean, obviously we're going to say all facets of the game, but what's the one thing that's got to be shored up going into the playoffs?
My thing with the Blues right now, my concern, not mine is always goaltending. Goaltender wins you the damn thing. Goes goalie, defense, and then scoring. Because if your goalie's
so back out.
Yeah. So if your goalie's playing well and your defense are playing well, and you could win the 1-0 games, the 2-1 games, because you're always in the you're always going to be in the game, and then hopefully your forwards can score you enough goals to win. So it's always going to be with the goalie. I don't. Bennington has been his old self sometimes, not all the time this year though. Right. He's let goals in. Jake's come in. He's played well sometimes, not all the time. So I don't. That's why I said earlier. I think this whole thing boils down to how Mr. Bennington is ready to roll into the playoffs. And when he gets to the playoffs, is he that guy that he was last year? And if he is, they're going to be tough to beat.
Well, that's our next question, which is a good one. So, hey, guys, is there any doubt who your number one goaltender is on this team?
Not a doubt. Not a doubt at all. So it's Bennington, and I think Berube's showing that. And I think he played the other night. He played Allen, but I think Allen's like 4-0 against the Stars this year. So you go on a hunch, and you go with your goalie that's beat him. And so now if they're going to play Dallas the first round, I'm pretty sure Mr. Bennington's going to walk in the door. And but I think without a doubt, and I don't know the stats, but you could probably see him if you look at him. But I'm pretty sure Bennington's played the majority of like probably close to 2/3 of the games. And but he's your guy. You're not going to – there's not even a question there.
Kind of another question that kind of piggybacks off that one down the road, of course. But this listener says, is there any doubt that this is probably the last year we see Jake Allen in a Blues uniform? I think what he's getting at here is would the natural process with where he's at in the contract – you get – like they got to move the salary. Yeah,
right?
You got to move the salary probably with the
– I would say if – now – who knows what Arm is going to do on this one? Because he's, he does things that I don't.
We're guessing here. Yeah,
But I'm gonna. I know. I'll put it this way. He's not going to get a new contract. He's not. He won't finish the contract though, which is next year's his last contract. So, do you move him this summer when you can get something for him? Possibly. I don't know what his value is going to be on the market. I don't. You don't know who he's looking for a goaltender, but.
All teams looking for one, really?
You think so. But the Blues got the Husso character sitting there. They've re-signed him. So he's going to be
sooner or later, what are you doing there, right? Yeah. Sooner or later, right?
If you remember at the wintertime, the Canadian junior team that won the championship, that goaltender was the Blues guy. So he's ready to roll down there. So he'll be in your farm team wherever that may be at.
Yeah, wherever.
I think it's just about a – it's not written in stone, but God, it's got to be pretty damn close when you're signing your guys, these other guys coming along the road. I think Jake's probably, obviously you got him for this run, but the summer or, before the trade deadline, he's going to be gone. You're going to try to get something for him.
Yeah. And I'll leave, and we'll go with one more on the Patterson Tire and Service text lane just because you'll love this one. Saw Jamie on Fox the other night. We have something in common, a face for radio. I thought you'd appreciate that. That wasn't a question. It was more of a comment.
Was that you say that?
I didn't say that. I don't know. It looks like your phone number that came from.
So obviously there are some guys on here that are truthful. You're not bullshitting half the time, huh?
No.
People see that stuff, huh?
And you know what? All I can see is the number. It strangely looks like your number. I don't know.
Not this time.
Let me get my phone out here and check this one here and see. If there would have been a picture of Al Bundy on this, I would have thought for sure that'd be
someone else is
guy's not here to defend himself.
Very good on the radio, Jamie. It's very good. Not so easy on the eyes.
He's upped his game here.
He's trying to. Yeah, he's actually gotten a little bit better shape. He's telling me, and I don't know if he's. I think he's got a different gel he's using now, so things are going better for him.
He's rolling.
I think he is. I think he's picking his game up.
So there is one more question here. I might as well ask you this one because people love this because it's one of your greatest quotes ever. And so we'll go with one more. Kimby, where are you at on the lawn chairs on Market Street?
I tell you what, I believe on this side, I don't know what's going to happen in the East. We talked about this last week, and Gary had asked the question, and I picked Boston again. And
it's
I
hard not to, Jiminy Christmas.
And I'll be flat ass honest because that's the way I am. At the start of the season, I had picked Dallas to win this side.
Yes, you did.
Watching the Blues, the way they're playing, this is I still believe it comes down. But you know, Colorado sitting there too, and I had Colorado and Dallas close, but I had Dallas going ahead of them. But now Colorado, their goaltender got hurt. This other goalie come in, and he's like 6-0 right now. So
isn't that crazy?
Yeah,
does that sound familiar?
No. Yeah. So if this guy here stays hot, this goaltender they got in here, you know, Colorado's going to be so. It's going to be the three, but you know the way the Blues. Geez, I just when I watched them the other night against Dallas, just the way that their team was looking, and it's hard for me to put an exact number on this thing because until Tarasenko comes back and to see you know what Tarasenko walks through the door and what he starts playing like and what his minutes are like and you know because he's going to have to be happy to play and if he's like he was last year, God, they're going to be tough to beat, I think. But you know I can't be an ass and say I picked one team and now I'm going to. But the Blues are going to be really tough to beat. But I had Dallas and I got to stay with it.
Yeah, that's not a great. Great,
but they looked. But the Blues the other night though they looked a hell of a lot better than Dallas did the other night. It was a great hockey game, but I was liking what I was seeing out of the Blues and, but I'll tell you who knows? I don't even know the East. You know, I don't know if Washington looks so good. These teams are there's a lot of good teams out there, man.
You know, something I wanted to ask you about. You know, I think we all were enamored with Chris Kreider and thought he'd be a great fit for this club.
To him, huh?
And then he signs the contract. Oddly, it's almost like the Rangers looked at what they were being offered and thought, why are we trying to trade this guy for this? And then, or maybe they didn't get that close to their asking price, obviously. Signing to an extension, now he breaks his foot, I guess.
Now he's gone.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
But you know what? Well, you got a good hockey player for the next 7 years.
That's
so.
True. Where I was going with it was I think. The real struggle for Blues fans was I think most knowledgeable fans liked Kreider and understood what he brought to the table. You could argue all day long if he's worth the money. That's like it's a silly argument, but I get it. But the truth is, it would have been a double whammy if Boston would have got him because boy, he would have fit in really nice there too. So that one's interesting. And like I said, did Boston need anything? Like when these teams are playing really well, I was going to ask you. So. You know, you talk about a guy like Chris Kreider, and this is where I was ultimately going with this. So you look at Boston. They were interested in him. They don't get him. And you're kind of sitting there going, what the hell they need him for?
Yeah.
You know, you would definitely on paper and definitely by the looks of it and the optics, they're the best team in the league. One of, or put it this way, they're in that conversation. You know, you could probably say Blues, Colorado, Washington.
Boston's tops ladder.
Boston,
right
but they're top tops, ladder. Right?
Yeah, they're leading
so,
grade.
So the reality of it is, they don't get that guy, but they just continue to play
But they added a couple of players.
Yeah, they did.
You know, it's just you when you're and you could ask any general managers, I'm sure, in any sport, if you believe in your heart that you're a general manager and you're sitting there and there's a player out there, and you believe that he's going to make your team better, well, you're going to chase it down. Of course you are. And if you get the right price, you'll always take a player that you think is – you have four lines. Actually, you got more than that. You got four lines and probably two extra guys when the playoffs get going on, or maybe five lines. And if you believe that out of those what do I got? 15 players. If you're going to pick a player up that's going to be in your top six, and the potential for him to be in your top six, top nine.
But he's a top six guy.
Yeah, so you'd be crazy not to do it if it's not going to cost you much. But now, you know, the price might get too steep or you got to get the hell out of town.
You know, he's an example of a player that if he was signed, I don't think there's an issue whatsoever. I just think the not knowing. And then obviously he got the money that, you know, I don't know.
I think he was going to get the money. Yeah, so that's
going to get it either way.
He's going to get it either way. It's just a matter of if the Rangers are going to give it to him or someone else, so.
Well, that's good stuff today. We appreciate all of our listeners out there for participating in our Patterson Tire and Service text line. Remember, they're a whole lot more than a tire store. They specialize in automotive repair as well as the quick phone call you can give them at 618-797-6711 for tires or brakes. You can trust them with your vehicle. You can trust them to get it right. And a lot of people have done that. And I do appreciate the reviews, and I know you guys will as well. So make sure you check them out at PattersonTires.com. They've got a lot of information on there that can help you make some decisions. But as I've said numerous times, if you're from that area, you're obviously familiar with their business. But if you're on the outskirts there and maybe you've been going to some other places and you're just not happy, I promise you they're worth the little bit of the drive that you may have. That's Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. So, you know, Kimby, last thing I want to ask you about as a player, you hear a little bit about like a playoff push. Now, does that – now, that's, I think that means something different to most people. So if you're a team like the Blues and you're sitting in first place, but admittedly have somebody nipping at your heels, is it really any different for the Blues than it is for a team that's fighting for a playoff spot? Is it the same thing or is it a different kind of push?
I think there's a more obviously, if you're fighting for a playoff spot, you're not in a playoff spot. There's more desperation that has to be involved in the process. So, you know, the Blues can still I'm sure they want to stay at the top of the ladder so they have home ice advantage. But obviously, from what they did last year, they didn't need that. They went through the process anyway and won it all. So I don't know. I think home ice advantage is still something. It's not as big as back in the day when you had the old barns and that, and the atmosphere was a little different. But I believe – you know, they're going to push with – you wanted to – I believe you always need a competitive edge. And, you know, if you're one of those teams that get way ahead of everybody and, you know, you're just going to play the games because no one can catch you in that, and I think sometimes you can falter. And I think that's where the upsets sort of come in because you're not dialed in every night. You know, you only have to dial in once in a blue moon. Yeah. So the guys that are coming – and I think that's why we're the Blues, why they had so much success last year, because from Christmas on, once they got on their roll – they had to fight to stay in the ball game right to the end, you know, and so they were mentally prepared and they knew how to do it, and then they carried that into the playoffs. So,
I mean, you start looking at some of these teams that are sitting there, and you know, like a Nashville, a Winnipeg, you know, an Arizona,
yeah,
a Vancouver. I mean, you know, hey, congratulations, you know, you've won the conference. Here's who you get to play the first series, and it's like you start looking at some of those teams. And we know they're talented, and maybe their year hasn't gone so to script, but they're talented and they're desperate, and they've played, they've given their blood and guts for, you know, the better part of multiple weeks to get in, and then, you know, here you are. And again, I guess the second part of it is, so for the Blues, that desperation is desperate to find your game and play your style so that you are a handful to play against. It feels different, but maybe it's the same.
It's the thing with the Blues, and which was extraordinary from what they did last year, was they didn't go through any injuries. There was no process that they had to go through. You know, Tarasenko might have been hurting a little bit, but he still performed. So when you're a team that sort of, if you're sitting on the cusp and you're trying to, you know, make the playoffs, if two or three of your most minutes played guys are playing and they're hurt and they're banged up in that, you still have to play them. You still have to push them through the process. So you know that you're wearing their body down more and more so. Where the Blues, if you're sitting up there in a spot, and you know, yeah, you want first place, but am I going to risk my top dog being, you know, playing that many minutes for that? No, you can sort of pull his minutes back in that. And then now, you know, pulling Petro down the stretch here, maybe Petro don't need to play 35 minutes every game. You know, maybe I only need to play him 25 and get him a little bit of a rest here and so on and so forth. And, you know, if things are because you're not in desperation mode. So, you don't, you know, if you're in desperation mode, you can risk screwing up a hockey player for the rest of the year, or, you know, further and aggravating his injuries or whatever he's got. Whereas if you're sitting comfortable, you don't have to worry about that nonsense. You can rest him.
And, you know, we go through the lineup. We look at the players. We talk about their – obviously, we know Berube is a big part of this, and the way that he runs a team and the way that he gets them to focus and buy into the system and all that kind of stuff. It, you know, I'm not going to call it a like the games they play, but the reality of it is I think we know that for the Blues to be effective in the playoffs, they're going to have to play a tougher game, and they managed to do that last year. They found a way to play much harder than we had seen. One of those guys that I think with the absence of Maroon now that's going to be counted on for that, and I think we all thought, and obviously he had the injury that he dealt with, but I think we all looked at Sammy Blais as a guy that could step in.
Yep.
And as I got back into town and tried to get caught up on some stuff, I noticed that Coach Berube had a few things to say about Sammy Blais' game, and basically that he was saying he's going to need to play tougher.
Yep.
Is that really Berube's way of preparing him for what's coming?
I would think so, because I think you're going to, like you said, Sundquist and Barbashev, they're running around doing what they're doing, but you're going to need more to come to the plate. And that's what the, you know, they had that last year. The Blues guys would come in and out of the lineup playing on the third and fourth spot, but they had to, you know, you'd go banging and then you could sort of alternate around a little bit and get someone else banging away. But Sammy's going to have to come in and play that type of style. That's why he was part of the success the Blues had, because he did that.
Yeah, because you would imagine he would be that guy on the third line.
Yeah.
Probably playing with a Thomas and a Sanford or whoever it is,
we get
right?
To there, yeah.
When we get to that point and figuring out who it is.
But you're going to have to play that. You're playing a team like that. If you got to go through Dallas, you know, that's the way Dallas plays. They're similar teams. They're going to play the same damn way, and you're going to have to fight for everything you got.
Yeah. It's good, though. I mean,
it is good. It'll be another good role here. It's going to be good hockey coming up.
And the reality of it is, that's what makes it great, right? Yep.
I mean, that's why it's the hardest trophy to win, I believe.
Oh, it's a tough one. Yep. But you didn't really answer the question.
What?
Do you have any chairs set up on market just yet? Or are they still
no.
in the trunk?
No, I don't got no chairs set up on market. I would tell you what, though. I would watching them play Dallas last night, I'd probably put my sign out there and say, this is my spot. Because I'll tell you, they're going to make a run at it. They're going to – if I sat here and told you coming into the season, I thought they could continue this process that they've continued. I would have said, they're going to go through a little bit of spot.
Just the logical.
Yeah. I just don't think they're going to run the horses that hard again. But Berube and the players themselves have done a hell of a job. They've, again, besides Tarasenko, they've had a few injuries and nicks at the start, but not long-term ones. So they haven't been too bad. And everyone's healthy now, too. So it's, you know, the healthy when I look at the Blues and I see how the injury report, and if there's not really the only guy on there right now is Tarasenko, that's coming off soon because he's close, and you're sitting there in the spot they're in, besides you lose Bouwmeester, yes, I get that, and those are big minutes, but if this guy comes in and does what he's doing playing that, God, what a dream that is.
Sure.
You know, if they're sitting there healthy like this, they're gonna be tough.
It's just like a trade.
Yep.
Getting Tarasenko back.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I it is different. I think if you're sitting there in control, getting a guy back like that is so much different than we're struggling and we're getting him back and we hope that this is a spark. It's completely different.
If it was last year and Tarasenko's sitting on the bubble right now, you don't think that Armstrong and them are sitting down there toddling the doctors? They're trying to, hey, we got to get the guy back. We need him back. So maybe instead of waiting until then, the appropriate time. And I know he's a superstar, and I know you try to probably, but I know the Blues owners, they need people in this. They need to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They need to make their hay in the playoffs like they did last year. So that's what I'm saying about these guys that are sitting down in the 8 spot, 9 spot, 10 spot right now. If they're superstar or they're most, you know, the top 6 forwards or 4 defensemen, they're pushing them. They got to push them harder right now. So and
that's the nature of the beast, right?
That's helping the Blues out also, because when they get to the playoffs, are these guys going to be able to keep that process? No.
Talked about your CarShield team, but I don't know. I can't remember what day you did the show last week. Had you won the title with Granite?
Yeah, we won that. We did it. When did we do the show? Friday morning?
Did you get to talk about it?
Yeah, we talked about it.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Okay, great. Because obviously proud of to be from there and have played.
Yeah, we went through that process, and we drank. We had pitchers even there. We drank out of the thing.
I saw some drinking going on. I didn't see you. I saw Mr. Smith, Jason Smith.
Yeah, he did that. But
proud
I was
right
down
the
there
show.
With him. And, I was down there with him.
You were down there?
Yeah, there was about 4 or 5 of us down there, and obviously the kids.
The kids weren't there doing it, obviously.
Being the age, they couldn't do it. So
the parents had to step up.
Yeah, we thought we'd be able to do it for them. So we just had a couple little sips out of it.
What a crew. Looks like you'd sang the praises of Mr. Parker.
Yep,
And he looks like he came through big four
in
the playoffs.
You know what though? It was great to win it there with a bunch of kids being juniors. They're all coming back next year, so that's even going to look really good. But we were Mr. Depew and Mr. Who's the principal of Granite City and Mr. Mode, the athletic director guy. They had us over at halftime for the basketball game
that
night.
Excellent for the kids.
So the kids went out there and they had the trophy out there and. It was pretty.
That's
pretty
awesome
neat.
For
pretty
the
neat.
Kids, the community. Yeah. I think it's great.
And you know what was good about it, because there's a you know, I've gone to about 3 or 4 basketball games this year, and they got a the student body sits there and they get chanting, you know, and like the college atmosphere and that, which I never went to college, wasn't smart enough to do that nonsense, but to sit there and listen to it. And, you know, so they come to our last game that we played on that Tuesday, and they started their chant because we were up 6-2, so they started the chant. So I asked them the other night when we were there. I had the microphone. I thanked the principal and Mr. Mode, and I said all I got, and I'd already talked to the student section. I said I want to hear one thing, and I just want to hear you guys do that chant again, because I just felt so great. So they started the chant, and so that was pretty neat.
That's fun. I think, you know,
we actually did it last night in the Carshield locker room when we won the series. Our kids did it too.
You got some Granite kids that play for you, right?
Just mine.
I thought. Wait a minute.
Simon plays a 16.
That's right. I forgot. Yeah. Different age.
Yeah, okay, Hunter, that makes Hunter sense. Used to play 18. That's but right. He didn't play this year.
That's
so.
Right. That's right. That's right. Forgot about that. Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, it is. It's awesome for the community. It's funny. I was talking to mutual friend and listener of the show, obviously, and supporter, Roar, Justin,
yep.
Mason's dad. We were talking last night, like, this is the year when you'd like to go play. Like, hey, you know what? Let's play the winner of the Mid-States. Like, let's do it.
I think next year would be, I think you could get in the top. You could probably play a team in the top. You're not going to get the top four because they're just so powerful. Next year, though, we'd have a. We could get in the top 10, I believe.
You'd like to play them, though.
Yeah, it'd be nice to play them. I could probably find a way to do it if I had to. Yeah. It depends what we look at coming in. And, but, you know, I'll tell you what. When we started this year out, I knew what the high school team was capable of doing. I believed that we were going to have to beat Freeburg at the end.
Yeah.
So that's who we played. And the first game, we were down 3-0, and we found a way to come back and
win it. Yeah, I saw that. That was amazing.
And then the second game pretty well at the end of the second period when we went up 3-1, and pretty well they mailed it in. And but if you would have said at the start of the year that, you know, I would Granite City team would have won my AAA, the travel team, we would have beat we would have went up and won our league, we would have beat the AAA Blues, and we won. You know, that those are three things there that are your goals. That's what you plan on doing. If does it go right all the time? No, but it's just been incredible what's been going on here lately. So I need to buy a lottery ticket.
You got the trifecta ticket. Going. I mean,
I'm still hanging out with Rivs though, but that's your only
didn't win that
there.
One.
Didn't
did
win
you?
That one. No,
no, it's good. I'm happy for you. Very happy for the kids. On both teams.
I was driving home the other day. Yesterday we went and ate. I went and had lunch after the game with my family, and me and my boy, me and Lawson, were driving home. And I looked over at him and I said, "It's been quite a year, hasn't it, kiddo?" And he goes, "Yeah, it has, Dad." Because, you know, we had some pretty good success here.
Interesting for you, too. I know you don't like to talk about it too much, but from what I understand, not from you, you don't ever talk about it. He's grown quite a bit as a player this year.
Yeah,
that's what I've heard.
Quite a bit. And he's, it's been good for him because he's played forward and defense. And I'm actually liking him better as a defenseman.
That's what I've heard. That's what I heard last night. Yeah. That he has turned himself into one hell of a defenseman, and he will. And if you're not careful, he will.
he will
knock you into the next row.
He's got a nastiness to him. But where does he
get that from?
I don't know. But there, you know what though?
It's mom's mean as a snake.
It's all mom. I watch him, and there's so much that we got to work on, but he just started playing halfway through the year this year, and
is he loving it more?
I think he's, you know, it's there's things that he has to do though, because there's his gap so back far, because he's protecting from getting beat all the time, and he gets back. But when he gets the puck and plays, he's doing all right. But I think he's liking it. I really do. He gets the people come to him, so then he can hit him. He doesn't have to chase the people around where he likes. You know, he likes to play a physical part of the game. So, but we'll work on that this year. We're gonna get in the gym and do some stuff when we get some time here and. Work on some, get some strength and going, because they're at that age.
You
went through this with your own, and
they change quite a bit about right now. This is a big year of change.
You got to start getting them in the weight room, and you know what? When they start working out, because they're old enough now, and they start to see their body change a little bit,
they want to do it.
Yeah,
and
big part of it. So we'll see. I can maybe try to find a way to get them down there with Mason and get on that track there.
Let me tell you, that's a beast.
That's a beast.
Is he ready to take on the old man yet?
The old man's got the bad back too, though. So I would think he gets the old man right now.
No, I'm talking about your boy. Is he ready to buck the tiger?
He ain't doing that. He ain't doing that yet. Sometimes he thinks that way, but he ain't doing that yet.
Oh boy. No, then you would hear from Mama Kimball. Both of them. Both.
Yeah,
Mama
that wouldn't
Kimball,
be a good
the mayor
thing.
And Mom and Missy. That'd be good. Well, listen, man. Thanks for coming in today and picking up the slack for Coach Hentz as he's preparing for his playoffs. And I believe, I don't have this confirmed, but I believe Jamie, they've allowed him back on the radio in some way, shape, or form.
Interesting. I'll have to start dialing in again.
Yeah, I'll start dialing in and sending in fake messages and pictures of Al Bundy. That'd be good. But we want to thank all of you out there for joining us today on the show. I appreciate everybody joining us and tuning into the show. The boys taking care of me while I was gone, I appreciate that as well. But for all of our listeners out there, thank you for joining us here at the SynergyHockeySkills.com studios. Brought to you by our good friends at InnovativeCompanies.com. That's our friend Randy Green, residential, commercial, industrial. It's a name you know and trust. Adam Smokehouse, Best Barbecue in St. Louis, folks. Please don't forget them over on Watson Road. Open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. You can call in some box lunch orders. They do deliver to certain zip codes. And, of course, if you need any catering, it's second to none. That's Adam Smokehouse, St. Louis. Here's your cue. To the Nelson family, NelsonLandServices.com. They're a five-star locally rated company with reasonable landscaping prices. Great friends of Darren and the crew there. You know, for all of them, I say thank you for their continued support and good luck to them. I know their season just keeps continuing as hockey is a big part of their life with both boys. Can't say enough about them. To Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store, for bringing you guys our text line. Means a lot to us. Give them a call, 618-797-6711, and located down there off of Highway 111 in Granite City. They specialize in automotive repair as well as the tires and brakes. That way we say, that's why we say they're a whole lot more than a tire store. You guys can trust them with your vehicle. They're gonna make sure that it's taken care of and it's gonna get done right. I want to, I can't say enough about lineupmediagroup.fm and their continued support. Home of Yo Radio, streaming platform for your mobile device. You can find us on Twitter, as I always say, at STL Blues Podcast, on Facebook, Blues NHL Podcast, Instagram, Blues NHL Podcast, and of course, please go to our website, bluesnhlpodcast.com. Subscribe to the show. You guys will not be disappointed for doing so. For all of us here at Blues NHL Podcast, let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.